So, good evening and thank you very much. First of all, I would like to thank Professor Sayed and Professor Scaglione for the organization of this special session. It's a pleasure for me to be here. So, today I will talk about bio-inspired swarming models applied to this distributed resource allocation problem in cognitive radio systems, where the communication among the secondary users are supposed to be affected by random link failures and quantized communications. In particular, we will talk about social foraging systems, social swarming systems. These systems are typically made up of a population of simple agents interacting locally with each other and with the environment. The agents follow very simple rule, and even if there is no centralized control, the interaction among them leads to the emergence of an intelligent global behavior that usually is unknown to the individuals of the swarm. Natural examples, of course, include ant colonies, bird flocking, fish schooling, and etc. The application in which we want to translate these bio-inspired models is cognitive radio. We know how in this kind of systems we have two kind of users, primary users that are the owners of the resources, and secondary users. These are kind of sneaky users that sense the channel in an opportunistic way and transmit over unoccupied channels. However, the secondary radio network is typically ad hoc, so without an infrastructure, without a central node that controls the access to the medium. Then, our problem is how to coordinate the access from potentially many secondary users in a totally decentralized fashion, requiring just a minimal coordination among them. Hence, in this context, devise some simple but robust interaction mechanism can be of real interest. In particular, we propose a distributed resource allocation based on swarming. The idea is that nearby agents interact with each other and finds out resource allocation that prevents collisions among the allocation of different users and maintains cohesiveness. So the search of the most appropriate slot to be used can be modeled as the motion of a swarm of resources in the resource domain, for example, the time frequency plane or the frequency axis, looking for forage. Forage represents actually a function inversely proportional to the interference level sensed by the network. Then the swarm will tend to move in this time frequency region where there is less interference while satisfying two basic requirements: avoid collisions between the location of different users and minimize the spread in the resource domain. Resource allocation can be modeled then as the decentralized minimization of the social foraging swarming potential function. In particular, xi denotes the resource vector, so the position chosen by node I for its resource in the resource domain. In this case, the entries of this vector can be a time slot and the frequency subchannel, for example. Sigma I is the interference profile sensed on the resource domain by node I. So in this case, it's the inverse of our forage term, so a term that we want to minimize. JA and JR represents the attraction-repulsion potentials. They allow to implement these features of attraction and repulsion between the resources. AIJ are the entries of adjacency matrix of the graph. This describes the spatial topology of the network. In particular, these coefficients are equal to 1 or 0 if node J is a neighbor of node I, so if it is inside its covering radius. Otherwise, so it's in this case it's equal to 1, otherwise it's equal to 0. It's important to remark that even if this swarming happens in a fictitious domain, so the secondary users are not moving actually, just the resources are moving in this resource domain, these coefficients, Aij, depends on the spatial positions of the nodes. So they are related to the spatial position of the nodes. Attraction and repulsion can be chosen in several different ways. However, to allow for a simple mathematical tractability, we have chosen a quadratic attraction function and an exponential bounded repulsion, so that the joint behavior with respect to the distance between the resources assume this kind of form. It's important to notice that there is a unique minimum of this attraction-repulsion potential function. This minimum is related to the so-called equilibrium distance in the biological literature, is the distance at which attraction and repulsion balance, and can be set choosing properly these coefficients, CA and CR, the attraction and repulsion constant of this swarm. In our setting, repulsion is useful to avoid collisions between the allocation of different users. So we choose the equilibrium distance to be proportional to the discretization step in the resource domain. That can be the bandwidth of the frequency subchannel, or for example, the duration of the elementary time slot. So a decentralized solution to the previous problem can be achieved through a simple steepest descent approach, where each node is updating the position of its own resource on the resource domain according to the anti-gradient of the foraging potential function that I showed before. It's important to remark that this rule to be updated needs the computation of just local parameters. So the local gradient of this interference profile at the point xi and the balance between attraction and repulsion forces that the resource xi are perceiving from the resource of the neighbors xj. It's also important to remark that at the beginning of each iteration, each node has to broadcast the information to its neighbors, the information about the position is going to occupy. This is an example. The red profile represents the position of the PSD of the primary users that is changing actually in time in this simulation. The blue dots that are moving on the frequency axis represents these resources that are moving, trying to find a position where there is more food, so less interference, while at the same time satisfying two requirements on the swarm cohesiveness, so they are trying to keep the swarm spread as small as possible and avoid collisions among the allocation of different users. Then I'm going to present one of the main results for me, one of the more good features of this swarming algorithm, that is its intrinsic capability of implementing a decentralized mechanism for spatial reuse of the channels. I said before that basically this movement happens in the resource domain, so it's kind of a fictitious movement. But the communications between the nodes, of course, happens in the spatial domain. So basically, two nodes that actually are neighbors of each other can exchange information and can avoid to use the same channels. Instead, two nodes that actually are far away from each other, for example, this node, actually, they don't communicate with each other. So they don't perceive repulsion, and they are allowed to use the same channels, to use the same resources, allowing so for spatial reuse of the channel. So in this example, we are considering a network composed of 100 nodes, and we are considering just 8 available channels that these nodes have to share. With different colors, we identify different channels taken at convergence of the swarming algorithm. And as we can see, it never happens choosing properly the equilibrium distance between the resources that two nodes are taking the same resources, but just if they are sufficiently far away and if they don't have a direct link between them. Let's move now everything on the time frequency plane. This is just an easy example where we consider fixed the position of the primary users in time. This is kind of an idealistic case where we consider these are the position of the primary users, these circles with in the middle the red dots. And we can see how the swarm individuals interact with each other to fill the gaps left by the primary users, and at the same time minimize the spread and avoid collisions between each other. However, this non-causal knowledge of the primary user's activity in time, of course, is kind of idealistic. So what we propose is to model the primary user's activity in time, exploiting some knowledge about some statistical knowledge of this primary user's activity. So in particular, we propose that the primary user's activity on each subchannel can be modeled as a homogeneous continuous time Markov process, characterized by the transition rates from idle to idle, lambda, and from active to active, mu. Now, supposing that these coefficients are known through preliminary estimation, and it is also known the average power PI over each subchannel, it's possible to evaluate in closed form the temporal behavior of the expected interference conditioned to the observation of time t equal to 0. So in particular, if the channel of time t equal to 0 has been sensed idle, this is the expression of the temporal behavior of the expected interference. Otherwise, we have this other expression. Why these are important? These are important because they allow us the construction of a map of expected interference where the swarm actually can move, looking for time frequency slots where there is less interference, less expected interference, always satisfying the basic requirements about coesiveness and collisions. This is an example, actually, where the expected interference in the time frequency plane is characterized using a gray scale. So at the beginning of the time here, this is the time t equal to 0, we have two disjoint busy bands characterized by the bright areas, and three disjoint idle bands characterized by the darker areas, so the areas where there is more food, actually, where the swarm tends to move. As we can see, the swarm moves from the initial blue position to the final green allocation, and so the resources find a final allocation close in time, where the prediction of the interference actually is better, on an initially idle spectral band, while satisfying, of course, the basic requirements about the collisions among the allocation of the users. In particular, in this talk, I focus on the effect that realistic channels have on this swarming procedure. So the effect that fading and quantization and channel noise introduce. My basic question, so, is can the swarming algorithm achieve the solution even in the presence of such random interactions among the nodes? We consider, in particular, two main sources of nodes. A random link failure model. So we model the graph describing the interaction among the users as a random graph. So considering the Laplacian as a matrix describing the graph, we have this sequence of Laplacian matrix that can be decomposed as the sum of an expected part that characterizes the expected graph, and this sequence of zero mean IID Laplacian matrices. Moreover, we consider that each internode communication channel uses a uniform quantizer that introduces a zero means uniform distributed error. In particular, however, conditioned on the input, this quantization error is deterministic. And how it happens also for consensus algorithm, it can influence the convergence of the algorithm. So to avoid these drawbacks, we consider deterate quantization, which endows the quantization error with some useful statistical properties that we exploited to prove convergence. So substituting in the expression of the discrete time version of the swarming algorithm, we can write the recursion in this way, where now these coefficients that describe the communication links depends on k, because they are realization of these random variables. And ni k and epsilon k are now the two contributions of quantization noise and of dithering. So playing now on the form of the function g, of the coupling function g that keeps in account attraction and repulsion, the dynamic of the overall system can be expressed in compact form in a convenient way. In particular, the state increment can be written as the sum of a deterministic function r that depends on the mean graph on the expected graph, and a random function gamma that depends actually on the random link failures and on the contribution of quantization noise and dithering. So at the end of the day, what we want to say is that the swarming algorithm can be seen equivalent to a Robbins-Moreau stochastic approximation procedure that attempts to find the zeros of this deterministic function r, whose value is measurable at each time instant and is corrupted by this random disturbance gamma. So what we proved is that giving these convergence conditions on the step size, and these are quite common in the stochastic approximation literature, a sequence that satisfies this condition is the following. Is this diminishing subsides, then we can assure almost sure convergence of the swarming algorithm. So with probability 1, the sequence of the states of the swarming algorithm will asymptotically converge to this solution set B, and this solution set is composed of the zeros of this deterministic function R. That depends, of course, on the mean graph of the network. Now, last simulation to show the numerically the validity of our results. So we consider swarming in the frequency domain in the presence of link failures and noise. So, of course, in a realistic communication scenario, some packets may be received with errors because of fading, because of noise. So we consider the case where the runoff packets are simply dropped without requiring SOA retransmission, and so also simplifying the radio interface of each node. In the figure, we show the behavior of the normalized system potential function with respect to the iteration index for different probability to establish correctly a communication link. Red there is the idle case, green 0.9, 0.7, 0.5. As we can see, link failures don't affect the convergence of the algorithm. The swarm always reaches an equilibrium configuration that depends on the expected graph of the network. However, what we can see is that reducing the probability to establish a communication link, the network requires a longer time to reach the final equilibrium state. So to conclude, we propose this distributed resource allocation strategy that mimics the foraging behavior of this swarm of animal. We have seen how attraction and repulsion forces can help to identify resource slots to be used while avoiding collisions among secondary users. In particular, each node is supposed to be able to listen only to nearby nodes, and this produces an intrinsic capability to provide spatial reuse of the channels through a purely decentralized mechanism. And at the end, we have seen that the method is also robust against packet drops, whose effect is only to slow down the convergence process. Thank you. That's it. Kind of a simulation result, but what we do is to select the equilibrium distance between the resources large enough to guarantee that at convergence, two nodes that are communicating will not end up to choose the same channels. Of course, we need sufficient number of channels to guarantee that each there are no collisions between spatial neighbors.
So you're not aiming at minimizing the number of colors that you use.
No. Not yet.